Welcome back to another episode of Getting Real with Bossy, the podcast that talks to you about what it's actually like to be a business owner. We are your hosts, Kelly Bush.
And Kelly Metris.
How you doing today?
I'm decent. I cannot complain. I have been very, 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 very overwhelmed and stressed lately. And
it's a lot of varies.
It's not, I don't think it was enough varies, but I think that today is a good day. Now, when this airs, who knows? I'll probably be right back where I was. But yeah. For the purpose of this conversation, today of real life, I am feeling okay. How are you?
I'm great. I'm incredibly behind because of a very huge issue I had with QuickBooks that is setting me back about a year in part of the work that I need to get done for my accountants. But I had the wonderful opportunity to head out of town with my family to go to a family wedding for my cousin. Now, my cousin is in a hardcore punk band.
Oh.
So the wedding just was amazing. The wedding was at Babeville in Buffalo, which is where the church that Ani DeFranco bought and where her studio was.
Huh.
So it was very cool. A lot of cool musical history in that building.
Awesome.
It was so cool. And just full of their friends, you know, listening to Good Charlotte and Blink 182. I'm like, I don't know. It was just very cool.
Good question.
Yes.
Did you get to do the We Are Family and the YMCA and the plethora of the cha-cha slide and the electric slide?
There was YMCA. The music did not stop. It was just a constant. I actually made a screen record because I have an app on my phone that just will just show what's playing, or just kind of records what's playing. And I was like, this is the best playlist in the world. And there was like a couple of those songs, but it was mostly just, it was just fantastic. It was awesome. And I got to, like, my one cousin who I never see, but I was closest to growing up, was there, and her four siblings weren't there. So it was just a wonderful opportunity. Like, Friday night, she and I got to talk the whole night.
Aww.
Brainstormed ideas for her new business. She's going to be somebody I'm going to pitch to you to come on the podcast at some point. It was wonderful. I just had such a good time. So I was just,
I love it.
Yeah. And then I came home and
I can see the freshness in your face.
Yeah, I felt so good. I was like, I'm just tired. Don's like, go to bed. So I laid in bed all day. I went to sleep at like 8:30. I don't know. I've got so much. I'm clearly in the library again today. I've got so much shit to do, but I don't know. I'm ready for it.
I know. You look amazing. I know the last time we were in person, you were going through your bookkeeping nightmare, and you looked a little tired and stressed.
I was fucking angry.
And even though you're still going through it, you look great. So that is a testament to how important it is to get the hell out of Dodge for a few days and just relax.
Exactly. I mean, Buffalo is an hour and a half from here. I was gone for less than 48 hours. But sometimes just getting away, seeing some family, spend time with somebody you haven't spent time with. Like, all of those, I think, if one of those little things, one of those big things had happened, I would have felt the way I feel right now. So just even if the world is falling down around you and you have to get your taxes done because the date is impending, but you still have no QuickBooks for the last 16 years, do it. And get away and get some time and take that break because you need it.
I love it. And today we are going to interview a pair of women that podcast together.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be fun and different. I don't think we've done anything like this before. They work at a marketing agency and decided to do a podcast as a growth strategy for marketing the agency. And I can't wait to hear about their journey and what they've learned along the way.
Me too. I'm very excited. I really enjoyed our pre-meet with them, and I can't wait to hear all about them. So stay tuned for Ducks Unplugged. Welcome back to another episode of Getting Real with Bossy, the podcast that talks to you about what it's actually like to be business owners and business people. We're talking about people today, and we are excited to welcome Deanna Dolecki and Ashley Ruggieri from Blue Duck Agency and the Ducks Unplugged podcast. Deanna and Ashley bring an especially interesting perspective. Deanna is a Gen X agency president, college-age kids with more than 25 years of experience building brands and leading teams. Ashley is a millennial marketing executive, wife, mom, and self-proclaimed hockey and Formula One fanatic. Together, they've created Ducks Unplugged, a podcast where generational perspectives collide in honest, unscripted conversations about work, life, relationships, parenting, pop culture, and everything in between. We're going to talk about Ducks Unplugged, how Ducks Unplugged grew from the culture of Blue Duck Agency, how podcast has become an extension of their brand, and what happens when a boss and employee step behind the microphone as co-hosts. Because as Kelly and I have learned, running a podcast can be its own business. I take that back. It is its own business. It changes relationships, creates new opportunities, and forces you to learn how to collaborate in entirely new ways. So whether you're a business owner, a marketer, a podcaster, or someone navigating changing roles and relationships, we think you're going to love this conversation. So let's get real with Deanna and Ashley from Blue Duck Agency and Ducks Unplugged. Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you. Great intro. We're thrilled to be here.
We are so excited just from your intro. Like, I was excited already, but like, I'm like, oh, I want to listen.
Well, you should listen because I'm so disappointed that I didn't just sneak the record button on earlier because you've already missed like podcasting gold from the conversations we had already just trying to set this stinking thing up. So we're so
good to have you all here today.
We're so glad.
All right. So let's start with the beginning. So let's talk about Blue Duck Agency. Do you want to tell us how you got involved, Deanna?
Yeah, sure. So I've been here for probably over 11 years at this point. And I joined at a kind of a really interesting and fun time for the company. So our owner is basically retired now. She pops in and out for management meetings here and there, but she's on to the next chapter. But when she started the company over 20 years ago, she was at a point where she's like, you know what? I'm done. I don't want to work for the man, if you will, right? Like, she was at a point where she's like, I don't want corporate anymore. I want to be my own boss. I'm just going to take this account and I'm going to try to do it myself. And if it lasts for 2 years, great. If it doesn't, I tried, right? And that at that point, she said, I'm going to do something unique and different and I'm going to have a virtual company. And so from day one, this agency has been fully remote. And so that's part of the reason I think why it's worked so well is because it was built from ground zero, right? As being fully functioning remote with all the different systems and processes. Fast forward to when I joined, the agency was at a point where it was either they grew so fast that they were either like, okay, we either need to hire somebody to come in and make this more of a quote real company is what she'll say, you know, establish more processes, get more benefits, like all the things that we need to do so we could scale the company, or I got to scale back and I just got to keep this a nice small nugget that it is now and not take on more. So she obviously went in the direction of grow. So that's when I joined the agency and it was fun for me at the time because I hadn't been in that type of a role yet where I had to come in and assess sort of what's working, what's not working, how to scale, how to grow. But that's when I started. And it's been a pretty exciting journey since then, you know, been bumps along the way, as many companies have. But we're in a great place and doing quite well. And then Ashley joined, you probably joined like three or four years after me, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she was one of my best hires. I actually almost didn't hire her, believe it or not. She likes to use the word boring, which is fair, but I was concerned she was a little too boring. And here we are. She's my podcast host.
Yeah. I proved her wrong. I really did.
She did.
Ooh, Ashley.
She did. Very wrong. Very, very wrong. So that's how the agency started. We actually started as a more of a direct mail company, for those that remember direct mail back in the day. And our company had a different.
Which is crazy.
It exists. And it actually, it performs really well because most people don't do it, believe it or not. Right. And one of the biggest myths is the younger generation doesn't want mail. They actually do.
It's exciting when you have something to open.
It is. Yeah. And the mailbox is fairly empty, but the postal service isn't helping themselves because they keep changing the postage rate. So our company was very different back in the day. It was actually called something different. And we rebranded about a year and a half-ish ago to Blue Duck Agency. So to be a little bit more digital, a little more current with our branding and our name.
I love it. That's really exciting. So have you guys been working together since Ashley came on?
Yeah. Yes, we have. So when I was at a former company, a large internal agency, and I was looking for something new. I'd never been agency side. It was always kind of client side. And I got this opportunity. I interviewed with Deanna. I didn't know at the time that she thought I was boring, but I ended up getting the job. And the role that I was hired for was really like explore all the areas of gray. How do you develop new business for the company? What are we not doing yet? What have we not tested or tried? How do we bring in new clients? How do we retain existing clients? So like, you name it, my job is to try it and do it. So that's been what we've been doing for the past 7 years, really, you know, figuring out what kind of new products we need to introduce so that we can support our clients, support new, figure out what doesn't work and take those kind of things off the shelf too. I mean, you know, as business owners, things change so fast. So as an agency, we have to pivot to keep up with the needs of what's happening out there in the market. So it's been 7 years of that. And then most recently, this past year, when we were trying to figure out, all right, well, how do we continue to get awareness out about the agency? How do we continue to get ourselves out there? We're like, what if we started a podcast? And that's really when the different dynamics of us working together started to happen.
Yeah, that was a big shift for sure.
Well, I think it's a couple of things that you guys have talked about that seem to make Blue Duck so unique. One, that it was completely virtual from the beginning, which I think is genius. You know, Kelly and I talk about if we were ever to open a restaurant now, post-pandemic, which I never will ever open another restaurant again, but how many things we would do differently knowing what we know now, how things are run different, how everybody's spending money differently now. But one, that you were virtual from the beginning, which kind of, I think, gave you a leg up there, but that you're so in tune with how things are changing as from the role of being the, you know, running the business, but also you're in marketing. And I don't know anything that changes more than marketing. Like that's just this
constant
changing thing anyway. So you guys seem to just really be up on top of things. And that probably is also what's leading to your success as well.
Well, I think back to, you know, just the olden days, let's show my age
here. The before times.
Not even the before time.
The olden days.
Like, so I'm Gen X, so I have that pre-tech life and post-tech life, right? Like my first email address was my freshman year in college, and it had the little blinking in, like it was the green screen with the blinking letter that you had to, and I didn't know how to type. I actually got scolded by my 10-year-old for not putting my hands on the keyboard correctly when she was watching me type, and I was like, okay, first of all, back up. I was like, nobody taught me how to type, and I am not changing how I do it now. Like, this is how I get
typed. And I'm doing okay, right? Like, you're doing all right. It gets typed. Type.
Like, shut it. But, so I think back to, like, how the word was spread and how products were released and how we learned about things. And I always joke about how we learn. I mean, I like to use Marilyn Manson's missing rib for a great example of something that the entire world found out about without there being social media, without there being, you know, computers, email, like all of this stuff, like words got spread and marketing agencies had a general handle on how that happened. And then through the technology boom, things started changing, right? But I feel like because everything got shoved in the pandemic, technology just flipped on itself and it has just been nonstop changing differences. And now you look at AI and now there's, you know, which AI program is the trusting one. And, you know, it's the constant change has just snowballed. So now it's like so fast. So how is a marketing agency, how do you keep up in the quickness of the changes today?
Yeah, it's hard. And there's sort of two pieces to that. There's also, that's what you asked, but there's also like misinformation is sort of the second bucket because AI falls into that very squarely, right? Like people don't fully understand what it can do, what it more importantly, can't do. And I think that's one thing we're seeing right now where people are putting a little bit more, especially for agencies, a heavy, heavy reliance on AI, thinking it can and do more than it can and do, right? And you still need the human element behind with the strategy. AI is great. It can help things be more efficient. You know, it can help give ideas, but it can't replace, yet at least, right? Like what we're doing. I don't think it ever will, but it can't replace fully what we're doing. So it has been, I mean, had, I think one of the biggest things, and I'll let Ashley answer too, because she probably will have a different perspective, but I think you have to know what you do well, and you also have to know what you don't do, right? And so one of, like, I'll give an example. When we first started, we were pretty early adopter of what we specialize in, which is acquisition email. So it's basically prospect email, which is very different than in-house email, because your access to the data, what you can do, how you can track it, it's very, very different if you have the data in-house versus not. And so we knew at the time we were going to be double down and be experts in that space. SEO, SEM, I always get it wrong, but whatever. That was a huge piece and it was taking off. And that wasn't something that we did and knew about. And so it's like, you know, let the people who are experts in that focus on that. We'll stay in our lane and we're going to just own our lane and we're going to be really, really good at it. Right. And so if we had somebody who wanted both, it's like, well, we can partner with an agency that specializes in search. We don't, and that's okay because we have focused and spent our time specializing in this, right? So that's been something, that mindset, as, you know, digital and social and all the new technologies, and it's changing constantly. It's part of what Ashley said, which is what products and services fit with what we do and our expertise and what doesn't. And the ones that do, we double down on, we, you know, ingrain ourselves in, and we offer solutions that make sense. Mm-hmm. Would you add anything to that?
I think the only other thing is you always have to be curious as a marketer. You don't go into marketing to not have some kind of curiosity and learning and seeing what's next. So we do something here that is really interesting. It's called No Meeting Wednesdays. So every Wednesday, you're not supposed to have meetings on the calendar. Every once in a while, a client will request, and of course we say yes, but no internal meetings. And that day is for thinking. You have to block out a portion of the day that isn't just checking off your to-do list. It's reading up on a new technology, trying something, testing something, like really just getting yourself curious. And that has led to a lot of really interesting things that we put into practice here. Yeah. Definitely how we started the podcast, getting really curious about that, how we introduce new products, how we bring things to our clients. So that's been a really, really good day because, you know, it's so easy to get caught in the to-do list. And that really forces us to just say, think big, think crazy, and then go from there.
And think outside your everyday role too. Like, I want people playing with AI. I want people going in and testing different software. Like, I play around in something called Runway. It's like, I have no business playing in Runway with my role, right? But if you can't, you're not going to come up with those new ideas or make connections on how that might fit to something we are doing if you're not out there just trying it. So that does give space for people, and it really has translated into some pretty interesting ideas.
Are you from the worst all abuser? Around, I was just thinking, like, you two seem so close, but you don't, you're not in the same office. The whole idea of remote work is just so fascinating to me. Yeah. Is everybody from different areas? Do you guys get together every once in a while, or?
Yeah, we're all primarily Greater Boston area right now, but we have had different team members and people that we work with in the past that have been in California and cross country. So that's been the beauty of remote work. As Deanna says, it lets her hire the right person, not necessarily the right location, which is really, really great. And we have very, very experienced seasoned staff here. So that also meets that kind of thing that we demand of the people that work at Blue Duck Agency, because that gives people the autonomy to get the work done in an excellent way. But since the company was structured as virtual from day one, there's definitely, like, things in place. Like, Deanna will do all company Zooms sporadically and make us play crazy games on Zoom. We get together in person a couple of times a year. And I feel like generally on the day to day, everyone's just more intentional about checking in. Hey, quick hello. We send, like, memes and GIFs back and forth, and we just, like, take a couple minutes to laugh. So it's so intentional, and being a remote work agency, that it makes the culture almost better, in my opinion, than when I was in office.
Right. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. It's such a healthy culture you've created because you have to, and you have to be intentional about it.
And I think a couple of things that actually, like, you know, higher season, I don't know if it would be the necessarily best first job for somebody being fully remote. Do you know what I mean? As you're learning and training and you get that exposure to all the other people in the office, but you have to still create some of the things. Like, so it was funny, Kelly, at the beginning, you said the virtual piece, that was actually a negative for us, I would say, pre-COVID. We didn't necessarily sort of offer that up right out the gate because we got a lot of pushback on, well, are you a real, I mean, are you a real company? Like, really? Are you right? You don't have an office. You're not a real company. There was that bias. I still think there's a slight bias with that, but it's changed so much since COVID. But you have to, it's where that bias comes from is how are you collaborating? How are you doing the water cooler conversations, right? That you just naturally brainstorm and ideate when you're both filling up your mugs at, you know, the Keurig, right? So how do you create those moments in a virtual world? And you have to work really hard to do that. But like Ashley said, we're like, most people use things like, what is it? Slack.
Slack.
Yeah. Oh my God. See? Hello. loser. You know, so we use Google Chat, just happens to be what we use. And so that's really the yelling over the cube. It's the, you know, and so you have to create those opportunities for collaboration and for those sort of coffee talks in a virtual environment, which we've done pretty successfully. So
and the reason those things are important is because you have that camaraderie. Like you need to trust somebody and understand how somebody works before you can collaborate with them. So to throw somebody from across the country and be like, hey, work with this person, like you're never going to do that in a successful manner, I don't think, without those things built in. So I think that's fantastic that you guys acknowledged the humanity. I want to pivot back because we didn't really talk about this when we first met. But I didn't, the focus on email marketing and the cold emails. So I immediately thought of my inbox. I hate my inbox. hate it. So I can tell you all the things not to do to get my attention on an email. Hey team is one of them. Mm. There's no one I talk to that knows me that would use hey team. Right. No. So I'm just like not even opening it. Like, you need this service. Nope, I don't. Not even opening it. Like, if I needed it, I'd be shopping for it. Like, so do you have any tips and tricks on sending an email to get someone to open it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the biggest part is about intent. I could talk about the data for forever and ever. I love that stuff. So acquisition email is different because you haven't opted in specifically to receive a message. But throughout your internet, you know, usage, you've opted into other things that then allow us to message you. But the thing that we do is it's always model data, or there's always some kind of data point that shows us, yes, you actually will be interested in this. We know who you are. And whenever we can, we personalize. So we're using your name, we're using something we know about you. So I think if there's going to be one takeaway, it's really try to get to the who you're emailing and then make sure you know something about them so the email is relevant.
Yep. And we always use opted in data. So we're going to people who have expressed interest in receiving marketing emails for you. If you think about it, when you're like buying something online and you check that box or you forget to uncheck the box, right? to receive future market. So like everybody is opted in. So theoretically, it's a sort of a step forward in their interest level. And then think about it, if you love, you know, you have elephants, the elephant picture behind you. If you love animals, right? Which I'm guessing you do, right? From seeing your background. And if it's something animal related, you know, like you're already going to be predisposed to be interested in opening something from a service that is, you know, marketing something for elephants or penguins or whatever it is, right? Because we know that about you. Mm-hmm. So that will, by default, if you have a strong subject line as well, will help stand out in that cluttered inbox because it's an interest of yours.
I mean, it's legit. And I'm on small scale. I have 50 emails I delete every day without just to get to the emails that I want to open. And I unsubscribe like crazy. And then my husband will be like, you need to unsubscribe more. And I'm like, I can do that all day, but they just keep getting through. Like everything has like multiple different layers. So now I just delete. So kudos to you for finding ways. To get through
and
that
personal piece is so important, but I feel like it's gone so over the top. Like the other day, and I sent this around to so many friends. I don't know if I sent it to our group message. It's Kelly, we have a group message with the four of us with our husbands. But within seconds of each other, I got, "Hi, I'm sitting outside 81 Marshall Street and looking and blah, 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 blah." It was a marketing email. And seconds later, I get, "Hi, I'm sitting outside 4565 Color River." It's the same thing. I'm like, "You are not." I'm like, "Oh, just take those ones." I'm like,
Yeah.
I know that I have similar businesses, but like, change up. At least have four different ones that maybe you send out.
And also, like, that's creepy. Like, don't talk about my, like, there's a line where, like, that's, even if you have the data, doesn't mean you should use the data. Oh, so you got to be really careful.
And I'm like, why put in my address? At least just put in the business. That's very ugly. I did not like it.
Yeah. Like, now I think you're stalking me. Right. Yeah, like, right? Now. Right.
We're all done.
Right.
Just not opening this. Bam forever. Delete.
The other thing that I think people forget sometimes is, when was the last time you received one piece of marketing and then you were like, "That's it, I'm acting, it's happening right now"? No.
Right.
It takes a lot of different things. So you might see or even delete an email, but that name is in your mind, and then we'll find you with a retargeting ad, and then you'll see us on social, and then you'll, like, all the things. And then eventually you'll be like, "All right, if we've done the job to actually say you're the right person for this product or service," you'll get there and you'll make a purchase or you'll do the action. But I think right now it's just everyone expects, like, okay, we've done one thing, and then the person is going to do what we want them to. And that is not how real life works.
Nobody does that anymore.
The sentiment I think used to be, you had to see somebody's logo seven times for it to stick. Yep. I assume that is way more now, because our attention spans have blown. So I feel like I need to see somebody's logo like 87 times before.
Yeah. And what's tricky is, it's like, you know, when you're digital and social, get, you know, it's the shiny penny syndrome too, right? But it's such limited. It's like the smallest amount of time that you have to get somebody's attention, and the smallest amount of real estate as well. And so that's where things like email or even direct mail, right? Like video is huge, right? So you want to have other formats that can give you more space to be marketing what you're marketing, right? And then the quick hits of digital, social, whatever is additive to the more sort of content aspect of what you're marketing.
There's a local pizza joint, and their ad is literally like 3 seconds long, and they just kind of like yell out their name, but it sticks because they've been doing this for years, like well before our limited attention spans. We always laugh when we hear it, my husband and I, and I'm like, but it works. Like, I'm on pizza now. Like, you heard the name, and now you're like, it's there. And you're making it a good opt-in because he can pay less for the short ads. Like,
Right. It's true.
All right, so let's go to what we actually wanted to talk about 23 minutes in. So you guys decided to try a podcast for growth and marketing. So what did that conversation look like?
Oh, it was a great conversation. So, I mean, as a leader on our team for new business and developing new business, it gets really hard because a lot of agencies say the same things or have similar types of products that they can assist with. Yeah. So what's the differentiator? And for us, we've always really been told it's the people, it's who you work with here, it's the expertise we bring. Like, as soon as you get on the phone with someone, that's when the spark and the connection really happens. But it's very hard to get that person on the phone. So at the beginning of last year, we started to do, and actually we did an in-person brainstorm for this. A lot of the time we'll do a virtual brainstorm, but we're like, let's get in the room together and let's see what happens. And this idea of a podcast popped up, and getting our personalities and getting who we are out in front of people sooner, so that when it was time to say, hey, let's just get on the phone for 15 minutes, they already feel like they know us and they're maybe a little bit invested. And at first we were like, Deanna, it's going to be your podcast. Like, from the president, it's going to be Deanna. And she was like, I'll think about it, but there will be no video. And we were like, oh, okay, that's not going to work. We need to have video. So we just kept like brainstorming it. And Deanna and I have always had a really good dynamic and a banter back and forth. And we do have a lot of, we're not afraid to like push at each other because we've built this relationship over the years. So I think that's what makes it work. And she was like, I think you should be on this podcast too, and let's do it together and really have it be representative of who we are and our culture, and what you see is what you get. And then it kind of started from there. What do you want to add?
Well, it's funny because at the time when we were having this conversation, because I really did say I'm not going to be on video, and at the time I'm the president of the agency, and Ashley is an account director, and so you have the different, I don't know what you want to call it, the different level dynamic, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to use the word power because it's just not how I manage and run, but Ashley had to be like, yeah, it's not going to work if you're not on video, and so like you have to be on video. so that was a hard conversation to have, but she was right. Right. I mean, she was right, and so, but she's like, I'll do it with you, right? Fine, we'll do it together. And our banter is just, I mean, we'll say anything, we'll debate anything. And so it's been great. But I was very uncomfortable with the concept to start, and was not very good at it at the beginning. And so I didn't know it at the time, but I think we've really sort of found our own, and we've been a year in, and it's much, much stronger today. But we had a lot of growth in that year. A lot of learning, failing, testing, changing, you know?
You don't know what you don't know until you're in it.
Right.
And I love that you're taking it from a different perspective. You're not just talking marketing.
Correct.
Like, it's a marketing agency podcast, but you're talking about cultural. You're talking about your kids. You're talking about society. You know, you're just talking about what's important to you, whatever it is that day. Because I do agree that knowing who a person is makes me want to buy from them more.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Because when it comes down to it, I mean, we say it all the time, and certain people like roll their eyes when you say it, but it's true. You want to work with people you like, and you want to work with people you trust. And so the only way to find out if you like somebody or if you trust somebody is to build a relationship with them. And that's what we're trying to do, is to show sort of who we are and sort of who we are at the foundation, because that all bleeds into how we work, the people that we're hiring at the agency, all of it, right? How we handle problems and issues. You know, Ashley loves to say, like, you know, picking an agency, you want to pick an agency that will say no to you, which is a really kind of a counterintuitive thing, but it's true, right? You want a partner that will say, that's not going to work, I can't do that for that price, or you're not going to get that result, or whatever. And so we want to show our character, if you will, through this podcast. And boy, do we do that.
Well, it's so important. That was another, you know, horrible COVID gift nobody asked for, was that people actually started caring about small businesses. And we also started learning about who was running some of these things, and made us realize there were some that we were supporting that we no longer wanted to support.
Yeah.
Correct.
So very true.
Yeah. So I think this is just such a wonderful, wonderful next step for you guys. How has it changed your dynamic as coworkers now? Like, you're in, do you feel like it's easier for you guys to work together? Has that changed at all?
I mean, it's always been good to work together. I'll tell a quick story. So we're pretty direct with our feedback here, because it's just how we all communicate, and it's quicker to get things done when you can say, hey, for better or for worse, this is what's working, this is what is not working. My previous company, that was not the case. It was like, you're going to get mild feedback maybe from 25 people, and you're never actually going to get what the problem is. So the first time that I submitted something out for Deanna to review, it came back with so much red on it that I was like, I'm not long for this agency. That's it. Like, it was fun.
She thinks I'm an idiot. Yeah, right.
And I just quickly learned that's going to be our dynamic. I'm asking for the feedback. I asked her for the feedback. She gave me the feedback, and I got exactly what I needed. So we built that kind of relationship from the start, and that is transitioned into the podcast. We can have any kind of conversation, and then even into just agency and working life, we can have any kind of conversation, good or bad, because it's built on respect, and it's built on me knowing that I owe it to her to give her my feedback. And as the president of the company, she does not have to take it if she does not want to, but she has it, and that's my job. I mean, I think the podcast, if anything, has made us just a little bit funnier when we deliver that kind of
the podcast. So I try to have a different hat on. I probably don't always nail it, right? But I try to have a different hat on when we're talking podcast versus when we're talking agency, if you will. Because in the podcast, I really, I really do look at it as it's ours, right? Not that it's not that the agency is not all ours, but if things go wrong, it rolls up, right? And so, but with the podcast, we really try to collaborate and make decisions together. If somebody feels like, we'll use the phrase, I really feel strongly about this one, right? It's kind of like one of the things that we say. So it's like, okay, she really, okay. Got it. Like, you know, like let's, you take that one. We'll do that because you feel really strongly about it. And so we try to have that balance. And we have had a couple of tough conversations over, I would say the last, you know, 6 months, as it's really starting to get into gear and we're starting to really sort of understand sort of how this works and how we want it to look and all that. And so I try to have a different hat on, from a manager standpoint. Between podcast and agency. And I think that helps.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just you unlock different levels of your relationship as you continue working together. So like we hadn't had the chance to have this much fun together before because it was, you know, like marketing strategy and all the things to run a day-to-day company for our clients. So it's just been a whole different level of communication, which I think just continues to make relationships stronger.
Definitely. And I feel like I'm part of your family. I feel like a part of your family now. Because we film at Ashley's house is where the studio is. Yes. And so like I see her son come home from school every time we film and I got a little relationship. He's made a little buddy, you know, like so you do get different parts of each other. And as we start sort of expanding our content, we started as marketing only and we expand it to leadership, life, parenting. And the millennial versus Gen X thing is legit. Like we definitely have very different perspectives and takes on things. And so that's just been very interesting to sort of get to know somebody on a different level that you wouldn't necessarily just from day-to-day work.
Yeah, I want to talk about that a little bit, but I want to scoot back to the comment you made about communication. And I think, you know, wearing those different hats does teach you so much more about communication. I know Kelly and I've talked about this several times. Owning businesses with our husbands is so wonderful. If you're listening, Erin,
and I love you so much.
We love you so much. It's also tricky. And with my husband, there got to be a point where I had to say, listen, am I your wife or am I your business partner? Because the way this conversation is going to go is different because I'm clearly not reacting the way you want me to right now. So I'm not wearing the right hat. And as soon as we were able to figure that out, it just, it helped our communication for our own personal relationship, but it also helped us kind of compartmentalize situations at work. Like, okay, how am I going to have to? Because sometimes you have to do that. You have to take on different roles. Even as the business owner, I sometimes need to be just, maybe I'm just the manager. You know what? Now I need to just be your coworker. Clearly I need to be somebody in a different role. And those, when you take on those different dynamics and I'm going to say it, you won't, but if there is that little bit of a power shift sometimes, it does open up this new thing inside of you that lets you learn how to communicate in different ways. And I think that's a beautiful, wonderful thing that not enough people really get the opportunity to experience. And it only makes you a better manager, executive, whatever it is in your job. It only helps when you start to be able to communicate on different levels. And I think that's something worth mentioning.
I literally sent a message to my husband last week that said, as your coworker, I need this. As your partner, business partner, I need this. And as your wife, I need this. Mm-hmm. And I was like, good for you. I don't know, like, there's three different answers here.
Yeah.
Three different things. So which one do you want to talk about? Like, this is where we're at. And I need to know where we're approaching it from. Like, I need to know which hat I'm putting on so we can talk about what I need and what I think the business needs. Yeah. And I say that with my staff, like, first sitting down, I'm like, as your employer, this, this, and this. As someone who cares about you, think about this. Like, if you thought about XYZ, like as your boss, I don't care. You make your choice. Like, I'm just going forward, but like, I'm going to change hats because you're obviously not looking at this from a full 360.
Yep. It's so true. We've had a couple of those conversations. I need to put your friend hat on, you know, like I just need a friend hat right now. So, and Ashley is incredibly good at that.
Yeah. It's like, I feel like that's what makes a lot of our communication so successful because we know who we have to be in different parts. And it's not always perfect. Some days we are like communicating so far from each other. And Tiana will be like, I don't think you're getting it. And I'm like, I'm not getting it. Like, I'm waving the white flag. Let's get on a Zoom, because what I'm trying to say to you, what you're trying to say to me, not connecting. I just got out of a legal contract, so I haven't taken that hat. Like, so we just, we make sure though that we acknowledge those things too.
Yeah.
Because that's part of continuing to build good communication and relationships.
Yeah. I would say you're better at that than I am. You're good at that. You're very good at that.
I try. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You only need one when you got co-hosts.
Right.
It's the best part. You know, when you kind of wear those different hats, and we all acknowledge where your strengths are.
Yeah, that's so. I think that's what, you know, we talk about leadership and management a lot too, and I think that's one of the biggest mistakes people make is they don't hire people or bring people in that have skills that they lack. So, you know, it took me a lot of years to learn that, but I'm better off. Like I just acknowledged it on this podcast. Like Ashley's better at that than I am. That's okay. I don't have to be good at everything, right? She's good at a lot of things I'm not good at. We do it with the podcast too. I have my lane. I mean, we help each other out, obviously, but I have my lane. I work on a lot of the pre-show stuff, a lot of the content prep with her input, obviously, but and she does a lot of the post-show promotion stuff. But we help each other out, but she's better at it. That's okay, yeah, right?
I can't do content development. I try, and it's like, this would be the most boring podcast episode in the world if we actually did what I'm suggesting.
But I think that's a weakness that a lot of managers have, is they feel like they have to be good at everything. Nobody's good at everything. You have to be good at everything, and you get nervous about bringing people on your team that might be better at something than you are, and how that might affect you. And that's actually, that's actually not the right strategy.
Yeah, Kelly and I just presented a whole presentation on this at Google just earlier this month. It's kind of what is your brain makeup, and how do you hire for what you're lacking?
Yeah,
yeah. So important. With your team. Like, these are the kind of people I have. And these are the kind of people I'm missing. So if I'm hiring, I don't want to have another one of those, because I already have somebody that's really strong there. I need somebody who's really strong over here. So yeah.
Exactly. Exactly.
So as somebody using a podcast as a marketing growth tool, do you have any tips and tricks to share with our audience that you've learned in the past year?
I think my biggest one is it doesn't have to be perfect to go out, because at the beginning, we were spending a little too much time like getting to a perfect end goal. And then one day we realized that's not going to happen. And it's also not representative of who we are. Like, as people, we are not perfect. There's going to be little things out there. So we've been able to get content as like that hit out quicker, different kinds of content. The things that I make Deanna film to go on our social media pages.
I can't. Yeah.
You're great at it now. But at the beginning, she was like, you want me to do what? And I'm like, it's going to be great. But you just have to get something out there and start trying and seeing what's resonating. And that's really kind of how we started to flip more away from just the traditional marketing. Because we do little segments like duck debates where we'd bring crazy things and we would debate them back and forth. Like, should you make your bed in the morning, or should you let the sheets breathe and air it out? And we got feedback from people that was like,
I like that.
Need your answers. So do you make your bed in the morning, or do you let the sheets breathe?
Like, the letting your sheets breathe. I've never had that perspective before. It was always you have your shit together or you're a hot mess is how it was.
100%. Right.
No.
Ashley's a sheet breather.
I'm a sheet breather.
And that was a big debate. I'm getting a lot of grief about bar soap. We had it's so stupid, but we had this like bar soap or liquid soap debate the other. I mean, we do talk about deeper things for the record, but I can't even tell you how much grief I'm getting online.
Choices are important.
And I'm losing that very, very clearly. Yeah.
Sorry. Oh, that's
funny. Yeah. So I think it's that it doesn't have to be perfect. And, you know, I think over this last year in general, this is true for the podcast as well as the agency, you know, prospecting, getting new clients, it's getting harder and harder and harder. It's just tough out there right now. And I'm seeing it everywhere. I don't think it's just us, but trying new things, and some things are going to fail, and that's okay. Like it's not ideal. You don't want it to fail, right? But that's part of it. And so that's part of what we learned too throughout the podcast is we're going to try some things and some segments don't work. Some episodes, frankly, haven't been good enough to publish. And that's okay. We're learning as we go when we're optimizing and making it better and stronger. But I feel some companies, some people just like it's a black mark you can't get past. And I think we need those failures in order to get better at what we're doing.
Yeah. Statistically, you can't win all the time. That's not a thing.
It'd be nice though.
It would be.
It would be great. But would you appreciate it as much if you didn't ever fail? Yeah. I don't think you would.
Right. At this point in my life,
you're asking the wrong industry.
I would like to say that I have hit the mark on all my failures needed.
You failed enough. Through. Yeah, yeah.
And I could just skirt the rest of it. Like that would be really awesome. All right, so I'm making a deal with the energy that's out there.
I'm with you on that one. That's fair. We're at an age where we failed enough. It's good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where can people listen to you?
People can find us Ducks Unplugged on all major streaming services. We also have a YouTube channel. The handles are at Ducks Unplugged. We're on Instagram, TikTok. That's where you'll see me have Deanna do some of the crazy reels and things. They're always very exciting.
She had me wear Star Wars costumes and do a lightsaber fight for May the 4th Be With You. Like that was a new low. It was a new low. Yeah, it was a new low.
Look at all the things you're trying and learning. Correct. I'm proud of you. Really.
How would I have gotten through life without knowing how to lightsaber fight? It's true. We're trying something new lately too. And it just started last week and this week is we have full episodes that go out, and we do video and audio, but we're also trying something which we've coined podlets. And so, you know, we found that there's a lot of space, a lot of people in the short form content, call it less than 3 minute, and then just, you know, more standard long form episode content. But there's this sort of middle ground of 10 minute, maybe 10 to 15 minute, one topic podlets that we are focusing on for people who maybe have a quick car ride or they're making dinner or, you know, that they just want to be in and out, but they want to be entertained for 10 to 15 minutes. And so we're trying that and hoping to have some success in that space. But again, it's new and different and we're trying. So it's a good way to get in.
You never know what people are going to put in.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
And where can we find your marketing agency if we wanted to hire you?
Yep, absolutely. So you can find us at blueduckagency.com, and I'll throw my email out there too for anybody who's interested or has any questions. It's ashley@blueduckagency.com. We keep it very simple. So feel free to send me a note, email, question, whatever you got.
Tell her she's wrong about her sheets and bar soap. That works too. I'll die on those hills.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Plug for bar shampoo over here, just so you know.
No way. I haven't tried that yet. Interesting. Okay, that might be the next one.
Yeah. I don't even feel like I know you anymore.
Anyways.
Is that gallery salon approved?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so. We go to the same person, and I don't think she loves my bar soap, my bar shampoo, but I do. My hair is so soft.
Your hair looks great. You have very nice hair. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Well, thank you guys for joining us.
Yes,
thank you for having us.
We appreciate it. I didn't want to stop that conversation.
All right, for the listeners out there, we did not stop the conversation and talked a lot about bar soap and toothpaste tablets.
So many things we talked about.
Maybe we'll have to go on their podcast and see how many things, other things you think I'm crazy about.
I don't think you're crazy. I think you are specific and wonderful. And I get lots of cool things because of your specificness. No. I think I'm so glad they went on this journey together. I think it's only brought them, I think it's going to make that business so much. I don't know what I'm trying to say. It was overwhelmingly great.
Yes.
Just, can we, bleh.
You Sorry. Can't tell that they have the dynamic of like boss and employee.
No.
Talking to them. Like they have a very even way of distributing the content in the conversation, and they seem very respectful of each other, and I love it. Mm-hmm.
It's a nice give and take. And like I said, it's that communication is so important, and learning how to wear different hats is essential. I don't think people realize how important that is.
Yeah. I mean, we walk out in the world, I'm going to, you know, talk to the cashier at the grocery store different than I'm going to talk to my kid or my husband. You know, we do it. We just don't mm-hmm. acknowledge we're doing it.
Right.
So knowing how we do it well and how to do it better, I think is really important for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to have a healthy debate, you know, thinking that your person is disgusting because they use bar soap and still having a relationship with them afterwards.
Right. You should be able to disagree and have that conversation. Nobody wants somebody who agrees with them all the time. You think you do, but you don't want that.
Nope. All right, well, keep the debate going. Keep the conversation going. You can follow us and engage with us at Bossy Rochester, and you can reach out to us at Bossy Rock. A bird just flew out my window. You can reach out to us, bossyrock@gmail.com, and go to our website. It's bossyco.com, BossyCo.com. And stay in the loop. Make sure you subscribe to keep up on all of the tips and tricks, and know that you're not alone on this journey.
Never. Be bold.
Be brave. Be the boss.